You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. If you're into sports cards, you probably have heard of a concept called box breaking. So there's a ton of different things that have to go with this, and I'm not really going to get into my total definition because there's so many different things, but here's essentially what it is. There is a person who is live streaming, and you either go to their website or you can go on this app and you can purchase either boxes or spots in boxes, and they will break the boxes for you and then ship you the cards. So it's become a lot more popular over the past few years. It's been around for quite a long time, and it actually, in my opinion, is probably pretty close to what I think the future of box breaking is going to be. Now, I know that may rub people the wrong way because they don't want to hear that they're not going to be able to go to the store and buy boxes, or they're not going to be able to go online and buy a box because it's a little bit too expensive, but I just think that everything going digital, and this is just one of the first steps of breaking and what eventually I think is going to happen. So here's the story. So Loop is a box breaking app, and actually one of the first box breaking apps that has kind of come onto my radar. I mean, I'm sure there's other ones, but this is the first one that I've seen it do the box breaking like this. So they just raised $3 million in funding for the app and the website and the company. And, you know, some of the big things I think are with this app, because I've used it a few times. I haven't actually gone into any of the breaks and purchased anything, but they use Apple Pay. You can set up through, I think, through PayPal as well, but you can go in right through the app and you don't have to like go to a website and purchase, because I mean, there is that option as well. But I think that, you know, I think Loop is doing it really well. And, you know, another hobby company that also raised a bunch of money that I'm a big fan of is Starstock. You probably heard in December, I think they raised $1.2 million with investors such as AJ Vaynerchuk, Matthew Dellavedova, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, I always pronounce wrong, Deli, and also Kevin Durant. So that's a big deal for the sports card industry. And one of my predictions going into 2021 was that I thought that there were going to be a ton more hobby companies and people within the hobby who are going to make a lot of money similar in this way, whether they're raising funding or they get jobs somewhere. You know, I think a lot of people within the hobby in the next few years are probably going to see a lot of success this way, because I think we're still in early stages. Like, if you listen to any of my podcasts or you watch any of the videos, you'll know that I'm very optimistic about the sports card industry. Now, I don't, like, I'm optimistic about it. Who knows where it really goes? But I think we're still in, like, if I know Gary Vee always uses this, we're still in the second inning. I think we're probably in the third or fourth inning. I think we saw a huge explosion from 2018 to 2020. I don't know if at what point we see another explosion that's similar to that. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I think we're going to see continual growth in the sports card industry. And if these companies raising money like this have anything to say about it, you know, that's going to be another reason why I think I see a lot of growth and a lot of optimism about sports cards and the hobby in general. So breaking, and I think this is an interesting comparison, it's kind of like the QVC of sports cards. Like, you know, this app, I think they display all the information for the boxes and all the stuff that you can buy. It's very similar to QVC, and I think it's going to be the future. And I think I kind of talked about that at the beginning of the video, but I just see box breaking and these types of things. Like, we've seen, like, people like Dan Fleischman and Steve Aoki, they built I think the Coffee Breakers has grown. Bailey Joe Sports Cards, that's one of my favorite places. They break sports cards. Mojo Breaks is huge. I mean, and I could go on. There's hundreds of companies that do this. So, you know, I think this is sort of like the future. And I think if you can produce a show, now, obviously, with breaking, there definitely can be some things that you got to make sure you're careful of, because we did see a controversy recently where, you know, there was a breaker who took the cards off the screen and brought it back, and that was sort of a pretty big issue when it came to what people thought of what the person was doing, because they might have made a mistake, they may have been trying to scam people, but that's obviously something that if you're new to breaking, like, you just can't take the cards off the screen like that, because, like, who knows what's behind the camera, like, they don't know. But I think producing a show, so like I said, you got to also make sure that, like, so for example, all the boxes got to be in front of you. You got to make sure you keep all the cards in front while you're breaking, all that above board, stuff like that. But I think if you can produce a show around the breaking, that's going to be kind of what I think the future of cards is going to be. And it's, you know, I think it's unfortunate that, you know, like I said at the beginning, you can't really get cards and break them. Like, if you're a father and you're trying to get cards for your son, it's just going to be different where, you know, you may not be able to go out and buy a box of cards yourself, but you'll be able to put the breaker on the TV and you'll be able to watch them break with your son, and you can still talk about the sports cards. And if you're getting these breaks and then you get the package, you can look at these cards. And I know it's different, and I know people don't want it to be that way, but just the way that everything has gone digital and that it's going digital, in my opinion, box breaking is just going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't think there's not much to stop it unless there's some huge scandal, just because, like I said, with everything going digital, I think people are going to start watching these breaks on their TV with their children, or they're going to be watching them by themselves, and because they can't find these boxes at retail stores. And I think, in my opinion, I'd say in 5 years, they might not even have these cards at retail stores anymore. The retail blasters may not even get distributed to a Target or a Walmart, or they may only get distributed to hobby shops, or they may only get, maybe it's going to switch from, it's going to be called retail, it's going to be called a breaker product or something like that. I just think that, you know, breaking is becoming almost like what QVC is in a way, where they're trying to sell something on the TV, and yeah, they're not specifically being like, hey, you should buy this product, we'll tell you all about the product. It's sports cards, so they're opening the box, and they're talking about the cards, they're interacting with the chat. But I think if you can produce a show that's good, and you can do breaking on it, that's going to be kind of, I think that's going to be the one that really blows up. It becomes one of the more popular ones in the industry, just because people want to be entertained and they want to open sports cards. And if this is a way that, you know, if things are changing, which they are, and I mean, it's kind of hard to really deny that they're changing, but things are changing. And I think it's, some people are having a harder time accepting it maybe than others. I think, in my opinion, the change is inevitable. And I think that once people accept that the change is inevitable, that they will, honestly, I think they'll just be much happier. Because, you know, I see on Twitter all day, every day, people complaining about not being able to find stuff at retail and how expensive sports cards have gotten. And I just think that, you know, breaking is, in a way, like, you can get into some of these high-end breaks, or you can spend $20, $30, $40, $50 on, like, getting into, you know, I don't know what the Prism breaks are going to be for basketball, but I'm sure there's going to be Hoops breaks that are probably $20, $30, $40 for, you know, a hobby box. Like, you can get into a spot and you get a random team, and that's sort of how it works, because they either do random teams or they do pick your own team. But typically, pick your own team, like, all the good teams are going to be very expensive and they sell out fairly quickly. Like, if you were trying to do a Prism pick your own team and you wanted the Pelicans or you wanted the Grizzlies, like, you're probably going to be paying a premium for that spot. Where, you know, if you do a random team, sometimes people do tiered, they'll do three different teams, so it's all kind of together. And I think that, you know, I'm excited for apps like Loop to see what they've got, because they've built obviously this phenomenal platform and they're getting breakers on there. Like, you know, I followed the app, I think I downloaded it around when they kind of came out, which I think was like October 2018. I downloaded probably like November or December, and, you know, there typically was 1 to 2 breakers on most of the days. And then now I've gone on the app and there's sometimes been 5 or 6 or 7 people. And I know Eric, who I've talked to on Twitter a couple times, he's also been on the app doing breaking, and I think he also does sales and stuff too, because, you know, that's another thing I think is big on this platform, is it's not just box breaking, you can also buy singles on this. So, like, if you can produce a show and sell on this show, like, I just think it's the future, and I'm excited to see kind of what Loop has in store, what Starstock has in store, what all these companies that are building these platforms have in store. It's going to be extremely exciting. So we have some more big news in the sports card industry, and I know that in almost every single video and in almost every single podcast, I say that we have some big news, but I really do think that this is going to be a big deal right now, and it's going to be a big deal in the future. So the big news is that UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, they are going to be switching from Topps to Panini with their exclusive license. So the exclusive license, many of you probably know this, that Topps, Panini, and Upper Deck all own exclusive licensing for certain sports and certain players in some cases, depending on if they sign some sort of contract. But Topps owns, or MLB is Topps, Panini is now UFC, but they also had the NFL and the NBA, and then Upper Deck is in the NHL. So switching from Topps to Panini is a big deal because we haven't really seen a big switch like this. Now, another change that happened was Panini made some Bundesliga cards that I hadn't seen in the past in any of their types of soccer products that they had produced. So I'm not sure if for some reason the license had expired, so that way Topps is now not the exclusive licensing producer of Bundesliga cards, which is a German soccer league. So we saw like an Erling Haaland card that was in Panini Immaculate that recently came out in January. But now we're seeing the first major sport within the United States that's going to be switching from Topps to Panini. Now it's going from Panini to Topps, Topps to Panini. The big deal here is that this sport is switching the licensing, the exclusive licensing. So all of these other sports, they only have cards produce at least licensed cards, because Panini does make top or Panini does make baseball cards, but they're not licensed, which if they're not licensed, that essentially means that they Photoshop all the logos, they take all the logos off the jerseys and off the cards and off the hats for baseball at least. But Topps doesn't do any unlicensed basketball or football, which is something that I would actually love to see. I would love to see Topps come back and do an unlicensed set for basketball. I don't know if that's really in their plans or something that they would want to do, but it's clear that Panini, that's something that they do want to do. Like, we've seen Prism for baseball, we've seen Optic for baseball, Chronicles, a bunch of big products have come out for Panini that are unlicensed for baseball. Now, like I said, we also have seen Topps take over the sticker license for the NHL, and Panini has done actually some NHL. I think they did the first and the second overall pick from this last year's draft. They had exclusive licensing for some of those players, but they did like Photoshop the jerseys similar to how they do with baseball. But, you know, that's a big deal as well. I think that Panini making hockey cards, I think, is showing that there is an opportunity for one of these sports to change. And obviously now the UFC, I think that's a huge deal. And I think UFC, you know, it may not seem like a big sport within the United States, but it's one of the growing ones that I think has a very strong niche. And I don't know if this means that we're going to see like WWE switching over. I don't know if this means, I don't think that baseball will ever switch from Panini to from Topps to Panini. But, you know, the exclusive licensing agreements are kind of interesting because there's a bunch of different variables, especially within soccer. There's a bunch of different ones, but like there's licensing within video games, there's licensing within mobile apps, there's licensing within stickers. Like I said, for Topps, they have the exclusive sticker license for the NHL, which they essentially are just making the cards, but they're making them in sticker form, which I think, you know, is a big deal because it's showing the NHL and maybe potentially Panini or some of these other companies that you don't need to do these exclusive licensing deals anymore. And I think now that we're going to see one major sport switch from Topps to Panini, I think that's going to open the door. And I think that the next sport to potentially do this is probably going to be the NHL, just because they're with Upper Deck, which is probably the third largest if you're considering top sports card companies within the United States. They're probably going to be the third largest. And I think for the NHL, I don't know if switching licenses would help the sport, but I do think the sport needs a little bit of help when it comes to the marketing standpoint. And I think if Topps was able to make hockey cards again, because as you know, previously in the past, like, there are older hockey cards, like Opeachy is a Topps brand that was a Canadian exclusive brand essentially, but there are, like, for the Wayne Gretzky card that recently sold for $1.2 million, there was a Topps and an Opeachy card. Now they're both both the PSA 10s are one of two. There's only two of each, and the Opeachy is more rare, and the way that it was cut, so I think an interesting little fact about that card is that it actually has a jagged edge because it was cut with a wire, and I didn't really know this. So, like, when I was posting about the card, people were saying, well, that's not a PSA 10 because look at the edge, it's jagged. And I didn't really know what to say because I was like, yeah, I mean, you're right. Well, I don't know why that is. And then I was looking into the card more, and that's when I found out that it actually was cut with a wire, and that's why you're seeing those jagged edges on some of those OPG cards. So, you know, I think for most of the sports, they essentially have their licensing locked up for, I think MLB just announced they're going to be licensed through 2025, and I know that the NHL did announce that they are going to be staying with Upper Deck. I don't think that they announced a specific... I don't think they announced a specific date on when that is going to expire. And then I think the same with Panini with with the NFL and NBA. I know they announced new deals, but I don't think they talked about when the deal was exactly going to expire. So, like I said, I don't think MLB will ever leave Topps because I think there's too much history between the MLB and Topps. Like, just going back to some of the original sets, like we saw the Mickey Mantle part of that 52 Topps set. That card, the PSA 9, just sold for $5.2 million. So, I think if this works for Upper Deck, for the UFC, I think that we could see some big changes when these licensing agreements expire with the leagues and the sports. Because if the UFC can show that switching or making it so it's not an exclusive licensing deal can either increase revenue or it can increase any type of exposure for the sport, I think that, you know, the NFL and the NBA are, I think they would be willing to potentially switch. Because, for example, like Topps also made football cards. So Topps made all of these cards in the past. They've made football, they've made basketball, they made hockey, obviously still make baseball, but it was, I think, 2009, the Steph Curry, James Harden, Kyle Lowry, Blake Griffin draft was the last year that Topps made basketball, and I believe the Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota draft for football, which I think was 2014, was the last year that Topps made football. So I think that we could see a change in one of these sports soon. In the next 5 years when maybe these licensing agreements expires. Another interesting fact is that before Tyler Herro was drafted, he posted a picture on his Instagram of a Topps Chrome card that he was signing, which if you know anything about Topps Chrome, like I just said, Topps hasn't made basketball cards, or at least licensed basketball cards, since 2009. So when this card kind of surfaced on Tyler Herro's Instagram, you know, there were tons of questions like, was Topps Chrome basketball coming back? Was Topps bringing back basketball? And I think it was a Kentucky card. It wasn't a Miami card. So it was like mostly blue and gray and white. So it probably would have been, in theory, it probably would have been some college product that he was signing, which, like I said, it didn't end up even coming out. So I don't know, like, what Topps' plan was there. Like, I don't know if it was maybe a mistake that they sent him the cards. I don't know if, like, they had a set that was supposed to come out and then they kind of, the deal itself fell through. You know, I'm not 100% sure what happened there, but we did see some Topps Chrome basketball in the past few years, which I think it would be phenomenal if Topps could come out with basketball or football again. Because we already see that Panini comes out with baseball. Now, licensing versus unlicensed, I think that if Topps were to come out with some unlicensed sets, that would pretty much just be to show that there is Topps basketball demand, and maybe they could even bring the cards and bring all of the information to the NBA when that licensing agreement with Panini is going to expire and say, hey, don't sign the exclusive. Like, let's have both companies be able to make these cards. And I know what you might be thinking. Back in the 90s, this is basically what happened. Like, there was each company had one to two different products, and that came out throughout the year within baseball and some basketball. But each of these companies had one to two products, but there was like 15 different companies. So, you know, I can see how people may not want that specifically because they don't want a repeat of that. They don't want Topps and Panini both coming out with NBA products. And, you know, Panini comes out with a new product almost every 2 weeks for basketball. So, like, if you were to bring Topps into that mix and you were to include another, you know, 20 to maybe 25 products for Topps, you know, I can see how people may not want that. But to be honest, I just think that it would be great for sports cards if another competitor came in. I think it's very similar to like the EA, Madden. I played Madden. One of the reasons I actually got back into sports cards was because of the Madden Ultimate Team market and all that type of stuff. But I played Madden and it was an okay game. And I think if you look at reviews and stuff, it's sort of not been in too much favor when it comes to the gaming community. And I think it's mainly because EA has the exclusive license. So I think it would bring in the competition. I think it would be great for the hobby. I think it would be great for the sports to get more marketing out there. But, you know, that's just basically the news from, and I know that I'm kind of veering off from USC and Panini, but I think this is going to be a change that hopefully will be good and that hopefully will show some of these sports that they can make that change when it comes to the exclusive licensing or even just get rid of the exclusive licensing all to begin with.